Hey! What about that?
Oh, I love to shame.
Mid-afternoon.
Oh, my God.
Of a Wednesday. Sit down there. Did you ever sing with him?
I did, yeah. I toured. I had the luck of, when I was an architect student, being at Christmas party and somebody rang, I think it was Victoria, come down to the Olympia, when now, and that's how I first met him, stepping up on stage. And then I toured with the Pogues and himself and sang many times. And it was, I was such a fan. So it was kind of pinch me stuff. Yeah. I couldn't believe
it. So you did Fairy Tale New York with Shane
McGowan. I did, yeah. And one of the maddest times, the last time that I did sing with him, lovely Jem Finer, who did this, the faster version of Fairy Tale, and Shane did the slower part. He said, Camille, can you do the London O2 this year? Because my daughter is pregnant, you can't do it. And I was sitting there pregnant going, I'm not going to tell him that. Absolutely, I'm doing it. And it was with the snow coming down. And I mean, and it will always be Kirsty's song. And that was one thing, because Aidan and myself had seen him in the last few days with lovely Victoria before he passed. And he was talking about how he felt kind of a traitor in a way, that he said it was always about her. But I think any singer who loved that version, it's theirs, you know. So you just try and give it your best shot. And I mean, he was hilarious because he was like a little boy, very kind, and but always mischievous when dancing on stage, trying to swing me off my feet. So I had to really dig deep that time.
And he was, you know, he was very aware of how he wanted it sung as well.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't he?
He was. I mean, I think he's one of the, I think he's a poet. I mean, when you just sit down to take the amazing music of the Pogues away, all the drum beat, and you read it, it is, you know, but he was, and one of the best interpreters of songs too, you know.
Well, you're a great interpreter of songs as well. So you were interpreting songs of Shane McGowan and Sinead O'Connor all summer in Australia.
Yeah, and I hadn't ever, like Fergal Murray, who's playing with me here,
well done,
who's
Fergal.
He's so amazing.
On keyboards.
He usually listening to in the afternoon. So basically, I never, all the years Fergal said, do Irish music, but I've never done it. I've never felt confident enough. And it was only, sadly, on their passing. And it was really, I think they were such a voice for us, both of them, especially Sinead as a girl. Like, she was way ahead of her time. She said half the things she had said now. But I definitely felt like I needed to sit and connect with them. So we've been just going through it and really just trying to take the lyric to stand out and slowing things down. And it's a way of staying close to them in a way. But we had a magical time doing a 6-week tour of New Zealand and Australia. And, you know, it's a place we go to quite a lot. But they just, there was Irish, there was Australian. But I mean, there's madness and beauty in those words. So it's amazing.
And you obviously put in the Shane part of it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, you know, just to, he's constantly, it's weird when you sing somebody. It's very different when you sing with somebody who's passed, because you kind of sing back to them all the time.
Okay.
And it's also like, we were being with Sharon Shannon, you know.
Yes, I better tell them about that just in case we forget.
But we had, like, we're touring with her soon. But we had done it with her, and she was amazing at bringing all that love to the audience, you know.
So Sligo Live Festival, 20th anniversary, sligolive.ie, and you will be joined on stage by the aforementioned Sharon Shannon, Steve Earle, who spoke to
it's
last week or the week before, Mundy, and Liam O'Mainley. What a supergroup that is, huh?
And we're doing Kilkenny and Wexford and Limerick. And I tell you, I probably need therapy in my life, but Sharon Shannon does it. She now has a key to the house. She has an upstairs room with Sharon Shannon's written on it. She's the loveliest person.
Your house?
Yeah.
Does she?
She does, yeah.
And what a house. Because I have to talk to you about that, don't
I know,
we?
Well, yeah, that's another, yeah.
Because you've just won an architectural award.
I know, which is kind
for
of
for your house. Will you explain that to us?
So I had been an architect before, and I gave up in 2000 on the, like, I had been teaching in university, and I had my own practice, and I got an architectural award of Ireland, and I was so delighted. And but I had an accident, and then I thought, I'm going to become a singer. And my parents are like, what is going on here? So many years passed, and all my girlfriends are still the people I went to college with in architecture. And during COVID, I said, will I come back? They said, are you crazy? You know, make some money, Camille. We're going to join you. But I was doing my house with my partner and for the past 4 years, and we did it with Conservation Architects, EBA, and we put it in, and it was shortlisted out of 40, and there's 7 awards. And so it was really nice, because I'm always anxious, thinking my life is falling apart. My friend's like, shut up, you're doing grand. You know, so it's just a lovely thing, because even here on the wall, that picture there is Cove when I was a student, those right. houses. So anytime I'm here, that. Neither did I until I looked at it a few weeks ago. I was going there. It's just a Cove. It's a little circular kind of thing I did when I was like 18 or 19 in an office.
It's the wall covering here in Studio 7. So there's the radio, RT Radio 1 logo,
yeah.
the RT Radio 1 blue, and then ghosted. There's pictures of houses. Yeah. And you're saying that's Cove.
Yeah, that's Cove. And that was something I did for Roddy Hogan Architects. But I laughed because I was staring at it singing going, I don't believe this. But anyway, so the other thing is, you know, so, and what was amazing, you know, that's just like
tell us a little bit about the house, because it has a history.
So it has a magical history. It's near the canal, and it's a Georgian house, and it was about, I saw my mad ideas over the years, because we slept in it for years. It used to be a Montessori, but before that it was Patrick Cavanagh lived in there upstairs. There had been a woman, Patricia Avis, who was a lover of Philip Larkin, whose husband used to be Richard Murphy. And there used to be all the gathering together of the poets. So Flann O'Brien and all of them used to go there. They said there was an exploded bottle of champagne in the freezer. And for Aidan and I were like, this is definitely our house. And then Mert Avis, who was her nephew, was the person who did all the videos for Bruce Springsteen and U2. So we found out later Blondie and Elvis Costello had stayed. So it had a mad past. It was falling apart. We had the most beautiful builder, Vincent Keaveney, who sadly is gone from us. So it means a lot to us that we got this award. He laughed because he said, you have more bars than bedrooms in this house, Camille, because we've hidden behind doors like secret little things. There's a secret bath and stuff. I did want to slide down to the front floor.
I was on your Instagram.
Yes.
And it looks amazing.
Yeah.
And I saw Aidan Gillen, your partner.
Yeah, I know.
Actor. Was he wallpapering?
He was, yeah.
He was. Right.
I got, because he was, like, funnily enough, we are probably quite OCD. The two of us are quite similar. Like, he'll kill me because I call him the bin man on a Tuesday, but that's because he loves the bin so much. But he had as much love and fascination for that. He'll kill me for
hold
that.
Hold on.
I only have to say that because I'm always holding the camera. Nobody knows who I am.
I understand Aidan Gillen completely there.
Do you?
Yesterday morning.
He rang me up from Canada going, did you put them out?
No, I woke up at 6 o'clock to hear the bin outside.
Yeah.
Remember that I'd forgotten.
Yeah. Those right? kind of things
sprinted
really.
Sprinted down the stairs in my jocks.
Well, I'm going to switch you over. I'm going to bring you to your house. You're going to come to mine. He is mad about that stuff.
Yeah, because you don't want to, like, it's another 2 weeks now.
I know. That's 2 weeks for us,
I missed the green bins. That's 2 weeks.
But
anyway, sorry.
Yeah,
sorry.
No worries at all. That is his joy. He's been chasing bins most of his life.
Raisley, please, that's me. Man, please.
Yeah. But
anyway, so you won that award.
Yeah.
And you've also got a French award, because your ancestry is, your mother was French.
Yeah.
And you got this. This is an amazing award. Yeah. I won't attempt to say it in French, but you will say it.
Okay, so I was very shocked and honoured to get this. It's called Chevalier de l'Ordre des Arts et des Lettres. And basically, it's a French, it comes from the French government. It's a knighthood for the French arts. So it's the highest order insignia and award you can get in France. And there's about 200 given worldwide, and 3 of them are given in Ireland. And I was like, what is going on? And what's strange, like, and I got it presented about 2 weeks ago in front of friends and the amazing new ambassadrice, Céline Place. And it's essentially, for me, it's a massive thing because my uncle pointed it out. My grandfather was in the French Resistance, my mum's father. And he said it's very unusual to get two people to get a chevalier, because he got a chevalier and an officier from Charles de Gaulle. And the first one was for being French Resistance. And the second was when he was in Beckenwald and Dora, because he was one of the people who helped sabotage the V2 bomb. So I know this is a lot of history for people, but it's
history,
an emotional
thing
for me. And he never really talked about it. But for my mum, who came all those years from France, my dad first brought her in a little plane. We were born in London, and he had been a racing driver, met my mum, brought her to London, said, we're going to live in Ireland. I want to bring our kids back up home. 3 generations had, you know, the famine had left, and she saw out the window going, there are a lot of cows and lots of grass. And my mother speaks just the same now, but she fell in love with Ireland. And for many years, she was like, no, it's there's no cheese. There's no, you know, thing. And now for her, it's come to have this honour. Like, it was so massive for me.
She must be so proud of you.
Well, you know, I never questioned because, you know, you're always your parents' baby or whatever. But it was a massive thing to for me, for her to, you know, see this happening and to link it back to her own thing, because she's a proud French woman, you know.
Wow. So that's an architecture award, a night of the
And I
something.
Still, I woke up this morning going, I don't know what's happening with life. It's all falling apart. I can see Fergal going, stop it.
Well, if that's falling apart, I want a bit of falling apart. Thank you very much.
Well, the next show I'm going to do is called The Art of Falling Apart, because people can't see me at the moment, but got my curlers in. And Mary Elizabeth.
I wasn't going to mention it. Yeah.
But Mary Elizabeth, I said, I'll take them on. I said, no, leave them on. So the wheels are coming off, but I'm really enjoying that.
You're going to stay with us because you're going to sing us another song. Yep. Are you okay to stay with us, Fergal, as well? Yeah. Yep. We have a quick commercial break to take. Camilla Sullivan will sing us another song before the end of the programme.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.